So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Review Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this all-shoot edition of Thunder. All shoot, all the time. Joining us this week here on Thunder in the broadcast booth, Big Sexy Kevin Nash. And Kevin, I don't understand this. You're retired. You're retired from professional wrestling. What are you doing here?
Well, see, you know, there's been a lot of people that said I was a horrible booker, but I've actually booked myself in the best angle of all time. I'm retired. Since they're paying me big money, they decided that they would put me on the broadcast team to try to recoup some of those funds.
You would be quite familiar with Mr. Al Green.
Well, the only thing is, he sure came out to
I'm so in love with you.
That's
no, no, wait a minute. No, that's the Reverend Al Green.
Oh.
I laugh at you.
How am I doing so far, Mike?
Would you like us to join in at any time?
Please. Watch this. And the very short policeman look at the gigantic Goldberg.
Well, we saw LaParca earlier this evening on Thunder come down, steel chair in hand, and
oh, I don't know. I remember now. Half the guys didn't show up today, so we had to book this earlier today. That's what happened.
LaParca with the steel chair. Look at no man's land here.
What did he do that for?
Blockbuster by Buff on LaParca, and then walks out of the ring. A very strange ending to what has been a very strange Thunder for Larry Zbyszko and Kevin Nash. I'm Mike Tenay. We'll see you Monday night from Philadelphia on TNT.
Hello and welcome to Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting with you. Welcome to year four of Review Away. What a start.
Year four. Oh, wow.
What
would be year five?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess we just finished year four, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. What a great start we're off to. Year five is going to be by far our worst.
Yeah, I think
so. It's going to be like WCW in, well, maybe 1999 wasn't their worst year, but it was, oh, who knows? Let's not make comparisons to WCW in 1999.
How many years, what year did they actually start?
Who?
WCW.
Well, if you mean when Ted Turner bought into the company, that was 1988, and then they changed the name into what the television show was called, World Championship Wrestling, from NWA.
Okay. So 90, 93, Sting, Vader.
Oh, it was terrible in 93.
That's where we're at.
But we had good workers, at least. At least you had some good talent.
Yeah. What about TNA? What, like 2007 TNA?
By year five? Yeah, well, they started 2002. 2007 was, oh, that was kind of just the beginning of the Vince Russo period, because he came in right near...
He came in like 2002, wasn't he?
He was there at the beginning, then disappeared, then came back in 2006 and stuck around for the long haul. But 2007 was what a weird year.
Right. So, I mean, look at how much they accomplished in 5 years.
I guess. I guess so.
What have we done?
I think we've provided more positive things to people than TNA did in 5 years.
Maybe. I don't know.
I guess that's for the listener to judge us on.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Wei? I understand that you have come down with what we know in the world as a cold.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I just had a bad streak of getting sick over the past month or so. So Toronto has had some really weird weather lately, and it's gotten really cold all of a sudden.
Yes.
And my
immune system is destroyed.
My immune system sucks. My place doesn't really have much. There's not much insulation, so I feel like
Jesus.
Whatever it is.
People are envisioning now that you live in like a warehouse.
No, I do not. But,
okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to fight it, all weekend. Now it's Wednesday and, you know, still not really any better. So I'm hoping I can, just rest up and get better, before UFC week this week. And, you know, that is why we're recording this via Skype.
Yeah. Well, some people probably had no clue until you just, broke the wall there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be irresponsible of me, to let people think that I'd be in the same room as you while I was sick.
Yeah, we should never, ever misguide our listeners.
Yeah.
Ever.
Of course.
What did you think of Raw Monday?
Oh, Raw, you know, the way they handled the follow-up and the pay-per-view, it was kind of expected. And, at the same time.
Dusty Rhodes?
Yeah. Yep, he was there. It was expected, but at the same time, unexpected. So, you know, take from that what you think.
You know, one of the symptoms of a cold can be a fever. Do you have a fever right now?
I do not, no.
That's good. Because I never understood this when I was a child of why, you know, when you get a cold, you know, your body would heat up, you might get a fever. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to say, I've got a hot?
I've got a hot. Yeah.
A hot. Like, think of that. We say, you know, I have a cold.
No.
So often. That really, it sounds grammatically incorrect. And, we've turned the word into the overall description of what someone has.
Well, but you can't say I am cold. That just means you're cold.
I guess you can get a combination. You can get like, your body can get very cold. But your temperature is actually heating up.
Yeah. But, okay.
I'm getting a mixture of, I've come down with a mixture of temperatures.
Okay. Yeah, sure. You could say that. Why don't you do that next time?
I'm going to ask my doctor next time I go. Maybe I have to go to the dentist first, but after that, I'll go to the doctor.
Yeah. What is up with this weather in Toronto? It's going to be like, tonight it's going to be like 6. There's a low of 4, it says on my phone.
Well, it was like 6 on Monday night, but Wednesday tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's gotten a bit hotter. It's actually supposed to go up to 22 on Wednesday,
right,
which is today, of course.
Yeah.
And then it's going to rain Friday, allegedly, which it could be very bad because the UFC weigh-ins are scheduled to be outside on Friday.
Really? Where?
At Maple Leaf Square.
Right.
I don't know if there's going to be some tent set up or what. It's very weird. I can't remember the UFC ever having weigh-ins outside.
I remember one I believe it was Sacramento. When with Diaz and Koscheck. You remember that when they shoved each other and Koscheck almost fell off the stage.
Oh, you were Diego Sanchez and Josh Koscheck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. That was outdoors.
That was in Houston.
Houston, sorry. Yeah,
that was the infamous, George St. Pierre, Matt Serra first fight.
Oh, that's right. I was there, I should have remembered.
How, I don't know. How's life?
Fine. I mean, I'm sorry. I wish I had, more energy than usual.
No, it's okay. I commend you for doing this. First of all, you and I watched this edition of WCW Thunder from Thursday, October the 14th of 1999.
Uh-huh.
And I won't say I had expectations for this show, but the idea of Kevin Nash doing commentary for 2 hours on his final night as Booker, I mean, it was kind of one of those shows where it's like, man, how have we not reviewed this already?
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it all way, and I said, that's why we've never reviewed this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't even say this is necessarily even like, you know, from a sad point of view, entertaining. I thought this was just a really boring show.
This was just an episode of Thunder.
God, Thunder sucked, man. Like, it really sucked.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, it was really bad. I guess some of you might find it entertaining to just hear us talk about a really shitty episode of WCW Thunder. But all this really was, it was a bunch of guys no one's ever heard of from the power plant. And, Kevin Nash mumbling throughout.
He was very hard to hear.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, he was, like, slurring and stuff. It's very hard to hear. Granted, we were also watching a Daily Motion upload from what had to have been, like, an original taping of this on a VHS copy. So yeah, you're not exactly getting a surround sound or anything of any quality attached.
But he
to
certainly
this.
Wasn't very talk. He was talking like me here, you know? It sounded like
maybe he had a cold. Maybe he had a cold.
He couldn't have, or a hot.
He came down with a hot. Yeah. It was the only thing hot with this company on Thursday, yeah, October the 14th of 99. Well, I guess we can just dive into things here. I don't know if this is, this was the final show, as we mentioned, of Kevin Nash's booking period, which began in late 1998. And, you know, some of the highlights of Kevin Nash's run included, of course, the finger poke of doom, in January of 1999, where the company drew almost $1 million in a live gate for Nitro. Then they came back 6 months later to the same venue, doing half of that amount. Very coincidental how the house dropped in half after that finish. What else did we have? Ric Flair going to an insane asylum. That was part of that time period. Goldberg's streak ended. Via a taser by Scott Hall. God, what else happened here? Man, this time period, they experimented at one point where the 3 hours of Nitro, they thought, hey, let's have the first hour of Nitro, which is typically our best hour because it's unopposed. Let's make it all recap videos and then we'll start the show at 9 o'clock. That was a brilliant one. The West Texas Rednecks Master P feud.
That was cool. That was a game changer.
It really was. The Kiss concert, where they spent $250,000 for Kiss to perform and lose viewers during that segment.
Rey Mysterio's unmasking.
Rey Mysterio. Wow. They just start flowing once you start really getting into the time period here. They got country singer Chad Brock to sing on Nitro Live. The Chad Brock.
Awesome.
Yep, that was big. They got the guy who played Arliss to make a big celebrity appearance. Dennis Rodman facing Randy Savage and falling over in a Johnny on the spot with feces falling out of it.
What?
Man, we reviewed this. It was a Road Wild event where Rodman got thrown into like some outhouse and then it fell over and all the feces inside of it started.
It was Bischoff.
Rodman went into this.
Oh, Rodman fell in? Okay.
It was a match with Rodman and Seth.
I just remember Eric Bischoff getting shit dumped on him or falling over in a porta potty. But
it's a go-to spot,
yeah,
in professional wrestling. And then in September, they relieved Eric Bischoff. They sent him home. He was still under contract, but was being sent home. Bill Bush was brought in to kind of oversee things, cut down some costs. And then at the beginning of October, which plays off of last week, that was when they announced that they had signed Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara over from the World Wrestling Federation. And they were coming in. Their first show would be October the 18th. So this was announced right at the beginning of October. So you had like 2 more weeks of Kevin Nash booking on Nitro and Thunder, and this was the final show. So he decided he was going to join Mike Tenay and Larry Zbysko on commentary for his swan song.
It's pretty odd timing because they're 10 days here from Halloween Havoc. And odd timing, I felt, to change your booking team just basically halfway into build.
Yeah, and this was even more fine comedy here because Kevin Nash had just lost a retirement match at the Road Wild event in August. And if I'm not mistaken, this was his first appearance back. Just randomly shows up on commentary. He says he's retired in storyline. Some people call him a horrible booker, but he booked himself into the best spot in order to do commentary tonight and recoup some money that has been lost by WCW.
He says this like his first on camera at the desk. Those are his exact words.
Yeah, there. When we are describing what happens on this show and some of the commentary, there is no sarcasm. This is what was said on the show. WCW just at its finest here says he has not seen Scott Hall since he went for sushi with two women. Good one.
And of course, the commentary team at this time on Thunder, it was, Larry Zbysko and Mike Tenay. And Tenay, I just felt bad for the entire show because here's a guy, you know, he takes the lead on this show. Shivani's not there. This is Mike Tenay's show and he's doing his best to keep things in control to, you know, impress and hopefully maybe one day get a lead announcer job somewhere. And here's this guy, Kevin Nash, basically just fucking around for the whole 2 hours.
That was it. I felt so bad for Mike Tenay, who was like just trying to roll with it here, but just had this goof here to his left for the entire fucking 2 hours. And it was like Mike Tenay was just, I mean, God, talk about just crushing one's soul. That's what I think happened in this 2 hours. It was like Mike Tenay came out of this broadcast thinking, fuck wrestling. Fuck this company. This is a goddamn paycheck where I've got to work with this idiot. I don't know how you couldn't have been demoralized being Mike Tenay here. I think a part of this man died on this night.
Perhaps, yeah.
Larry Zbysko didn't give a fuck. Mm. He was just here for the ride. Yeah. Up first, we had Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker taking on Jim Duggan.
Yeah, so as far as I know, well, actually, no. But the first in-ring, this is Sarge from the Power Plant, correct?
Oh, yeah. This was the lead instructor down at the Power Plant who many talents would come out just hating this man because of the drills he put him through.
Yeah, but
and then eventually would get a short little run towards the end of WCW as Goldberg's buddy.
Oh, okay. But
His buddy, Lee Parker?
Yeah, his buddy, whose name happens to be Buddy. But as far as I remember, perhaps the first in-ring appearance of Sarge on an episode of WCW television on Radio Way. And so, I mean, from the get-go, you have... This is basically the caliber of a superstar we're dealing with here on the show. Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker coming out to some afternoon kids TV guitar music.
Now, you might ask yourself, well, WCW had a ton of talent in 1999. Why weren't they on Thunder? Kevin Nash will explain to us why the bigger talent wasn't on Thunder later on in the show.
What exactly, how did they tape Thunder?
At this time, they taped Thunder. Oh, I think it was like Tuesday nights they would tape this to air on Thursday nights. They were at a time doing Thursdays live.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know if this was live at the time.
No.
I don't know.
It'd be so awful.
But there was a time the Thunder was live. And I mean, I don't know if they were still doing it in 99.
If somebody told me that they spent money, the cost to hook up a satellite and do everything live for this show, I'd be flabbergasted. But what happened to the rest of the roster? Like, why did this feel like such a, basically, you know, or the remnants, like the leftovers of the people that weren't on Nitro?
Well, we'll get to that because Kevin Nash explains it crystal clear in his commentary.
Okay.
Mike Tenay brings up that Jim Duggan spent a lot of time here in Baton Rouge when he was part of Mid-South. And Nash says, yep, that Duggan, he's always got a way of staying over.
Yes. This was Nash's color commentary analysis.
Yes, it was a... Just shooting the breeze here with Mike Tenay and Larry Zbysko. It's always got a way of staying over. Lots of USA chants, very slow match. They fought on the floor. Buddy Lee Parker hit him with an eye rake. Duggan slammed him, hit a running clothesline, and then he hit not just a knee drop way, the old glory knee drop for the win at 4 minutes and 22 seconds. And Nash asks Tenay, are you making this up? Why do you call it the old glory knee drop? Why is it different from a regular knee drop? And this began the absolute worst show-long gag where Nash would refer to everything by prefacing the maneuver with the words old glory attached to it.
Nash was so amused that Jim Duggan would name this knee drop the old glory knee drop. He just had a hell of a time just amusing himself, laughing about this name, old glory knee drop.
I was waiting. I was just waiting for Mike Tenay to snap and be like, you know what, dickhead? Why is it the jackknife powerbomb? What, what's so jackknife about a typical power bomb? That's what I would have loved.
Yeah.
One of Nash's favorite go-tos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is it a jackknife power bomb?
I don't know. Why is it an Old Glory knee drop?
Hmm.
Could it be the idea of just trying to get a maneuver over with some catchy title to it?
The jackknife is because it's like the guy flips up like a knife would, like a jackknife.
Oh. Okay.
Is that right?
Isn't every power bomb essentially administered with the exact same sequence of movements for the person receiving it?
That's true. Yeah, but, you know.
You know, everyone says that Kevin Nash, he's always, like, for guys that, you know, in the back, he's hilarious. He's a real funny guy. And I've interviewed Nash many, many times, and I've always enjoyed talking to him. He's a very personable guy. He's got a few jokes. But on this show, Way, it was like, I don't know. It was like, this was like your drunk cousin or something at a party. And it's like, everyone just is like, oh, just ignore him. That's Uncle Kevin. He's going through a rough time right now. This is all he gets out of life. So just humor him, smirk, and then just leave him. He's going to have another drink.
This was
Uncle Kevin.
He's the guy, who's not your friend, but the guy that somehow ends up sitting next to you at the movie theater, and he's making all these little jokes to his friends, and you really want to tell him to shut up, but you don't really want to be rude.
Yeah. It's that guy who, it's like, by the end of the movie, it's like, all right, we get it. You could make a better movie than Steven Spielberg up there. You could definitely do this. You are great. You're great at making jokes about movies.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for coming here, asshole. Glad you came. Martha, fuck off. I never want to see you again if Kevin's coming.
There it is.
I just made up some friends there. If I hung out with someone named Martha.
Oh, are you referencing something that happened to you in real?
No. I'm not making jokes here. I'm just totally making this up here.
Didn't this actually happen to you? Like on a trip to Montreal or something?
Well, I did go on a trip where it was, there was one person that came with us who was a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Throughout, but.
Her name wasn't Martha.
No, it wasn't Martha.
What was it?
It was Way. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's move on to Al Green against Lash LaRue.
Yeah.
The Raging Cajun.
Yeah, hometown favorite here from Louisiana.
Yes, of course. We had to get him all over on this show. Two segments for him. This prompted Nash to start singing Al Green songs. And then informed us that Al Green was his second tag partner, which was true. Yeah. Al Green looking very svelte.
A ton of Putski candidates here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Like, Al Green.
He just passed away?
He did.
Oh,
he
I'm
did.
Sorry.
Lash LaRue clotheslines Green to send him to the floor. And then they have a discussion about his sideburns. And Nash doesn't understand what they are. And it's explained that their sideburns that form L's, which are his initials, Lash LaRue.
It's pretty funny.
Al Green catches him off the top, slams him for a two count, and then LaRue hits him with what would be best known as Chris Sabin's cradle shock, which was called the whiplash, to get the win, 2:14, and he will be facing Disco Inferno at Halloween Havoc in 10 days for the Cruiserweight title.
Nash just couldn't sound less interested here. They started making a bunch of Dick Van Dyke jokes. I don't even know in reference to what. I never watched the Dick Van Dyke show, kind of before my time, but like he and Tanay and Larry just go off on some Dick Van Dyke reference, and that was the extent of the match for me.
They recap this tremendous feud going on at the time between Jimmy Hart's First Family of Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris and Harlem Heat as they are getting set for a tag title match at Halloween Havoc. There was an angle on the WCW Saturday Night program between the First Family and the Armstrong family. I got so confused here, Way, with these videos because I didn't know what was a recap and what was like backstage at Thunder tonight. Every time I thought there was something on Thunder, it was like we went to another clip. There was Duggan walking into Scott Armstrong. And then during this video package, they cut away mid-sentence while they were talking. Then Mike Tenay announces that WCW executives have been working overtime and they have made a match between Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell for next week's Thunder. Awesome. Awesome. What do you have for me tonight? That would be still to come.
It was, well, first of all, like, this is a show with the Armstrongs, a feud with the Armstrongs. Like, these are like WCW Saturday night feuds. Like, they're C-show level feuds that we're getting to see here. And, this Luger Bagwell, I guess there was some type of feud going on. That was Thunder only.
A Thunder exclusive program.
Yeah.
Great. Lex Luger comes out. I'm sorry, the total package, because they did a whole video package where Lex Luger was in a coffin and they played it up that Lex Luger was dead and the total package is his reincarnated soul. So now he is only going by the name The Total Package.
Are you making this up? Or?
No, this is what they did. They did the whole vignette where Elizabeth was mourning the death of Lex Luger, and then he arose from the dead as The Total Package. He's been reborn.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not making this up. Tag that one under the Kevin Nash 1999 Wikipedia page. So Lex Luger, The Total Package comes out. The funniest part was every time Tenay and Nash said Luger, Zbyszko corrected them, like all show long.
Uh-huh.
And so Total Package comes out with Elizabeth. Nash and Zbyszko are busy discussing their golf game. And then Zbyszko out of nowhere makes a public challenge to Michael Jordan to a game of golf. Total Package asks why he had to come to Baton Rouge. And he asks about being out of action for all these months. He had an injury. He didn't get any, quote, internet emails, cards, or letters. Never finishes his thought here. He just goes off onto a tangent about being a super athlete. And I don't want to accuse a man of being under the influence of alcohol or narcotics, but having just read Luger's book, Wrestling with the Devil, I can tell you that this man was into a lot of drugs at this time, and it would not have surprised me if he was high during this promo, because he stuttered through his words, he was slurring his speech. It was almost like he was auditioning to be a color commentator on Thunder.
Yeah.
He said that some artists are not appreciated until they are gone, and had a hell of a time. His biggest opponent on Thursday night's Thunder was the word metamorphosis, which he just gave up on trying to pronounce.
I think he was trying to say he had the greatest mesomorphic physique. Yeah, well, I mean, mesomorph is what he was mesomorph. Trying to say.
Is that what the Power Rangers used to do? Mesomorph?
No, mesomorph is like a fit physique.
Okay. I was taking it to be his metamorphosis into The Total Package. Mm-hmm. But if you believe that this man,
I think he was trying to say,
got a passing grade here, I'll go with you. Buff Bagwell then shows up. He says that Total Package is one of the best wrestlers ever. One of the best wrestlers ever. Mm-hmm. Says that over the past couple of months, though, Luger's forgotten about his friends. He asks about Sting. Luger tells Bagwell to get on his knees. I don't know where this was going. But then Rick Steiner shows up and they double team Bagwell. Not in that regard. And then La Parca runs in with a chair to make the save on Bagwell, clears the ring.
Why La Parca?
Why not La Parca?
What relationship did he have prior to this with Buff Bagwell?
I can't say there was any relationship. I think this might have been the first time they paired these two together as a unit.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Two men that you could clearly buy are guys that have conversations with one another when the cameras are not on. Mm-hmm. The bone guy and Buff Bagwell, the guy with the calf implants.
Calf implants, really?
Well, this guy got calf implants,
oh,
yeah.
God.
Calves weren't big enough.
Oh, okay.
I would get them. No, I wouldn't. You know what's funny is that they just passed that that ruling in the state of Louisiana that people with implants cannot compete within the state, meaning that had this Thunder taken place right now, Way, Buff Bagwell probably would not be cleared to wrestle here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Like what type of implants?
Any implants. It's been
even like breast implants?
Yeah, people with breast implants are not. Now, this does not apparently is not going to apply to professional wrestling. It's applying to boxing and mixed martial arts, and wrestling kind of gets a pass. But you would think that wrestling, probably the highest percentage of its performers that have implants. I don't know too many boxers or mixed martial artists that have, you know, implants. You're more of a chance of an implant exploding.
I suppose. I didn't even know there was such a thing as calf implants.
Oh yeah, Buff Bagwell, ahead of the curve in 1999.
What would you put in there? Like, what would the implants be made of?
Well, you know what, Way? I'm not a doctor, but you know what it is? Google.
Okay.
So you know what? I'm going to, I'm sorry. I've got the worst computer on earth here. So this might take an edition of Thunder to search this, but let's find out. I imagine that calf implants, you would think that it kind of lends itself towards male athletes or male models more so than females, but I'm always intrigued by this. Calf implants. I just want to get kind of a little 411 on the procedure here. And calf implants for men is one of the first searches that come up, as is Calf Implants Canada. Maybe that's a not-for-profit. Okay, here we go. Calfimplantsonline.com. Let's click on information. All right. Calf implants are used to bulk up the appearance of the calf muscles to give the look of having been in the gym for hours without the calf muscles. Oh, sorry, working out the calf muscles. It is most important to evaluate the entire body of any patient looking to have body contouring with implants. Most patients, men especially, will usually ask for the largest implant made. Without evaluating the rest of the body, it is easier to overdo the implant size and get a result that looks more like Popeye than Arnold. All calf implants are made of a silicone material. The implants are solid, but soft.
Interesting. Okay. Have you ever seen like photos of ass implants gone wrong?
I'm not going to Google
that.
Yeah,
Google that. It's very funny.
I don't know if I want to. Let me,
ass implants gone wrong.
Here, one sec. I'm looking up Buff Bagwell calf implants to see if, he ever. Okay. I don't know. Do I really want to search this way?
Of course you do.
Ass implants gone wrong. I'm still at work, so if someone walks in, that'll be awkward. Oh, what the fuck? Oh, it looks like, oh my God, it looks like someone has like a set of like pots that are like put in their ass.
Like a package of ham. Ugh, like Jesus. Luncheon meat ham stuck in their ass. There's a video.
Oh, I don't want to see the video. I can barely deal with the pictures here. These are, yikes. Are you on it right now on Google?
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to this girl? The girl who's got like the tank top on with the black pants and apparently has like,
that has to be Photoshop. Come on.
Yeah. I would imagine. Well, do you think that this girl in the red is Photoshop?
I mean, I think there's,
it's just too fucked up to, I don't think anyone would buy
there's
that
a video.
Unless it was real.
Oh, there's a video of it. Right.
I don't want to see the video.
Okay. I'll watch it in silence.
I'm squeamish. Wow. Don't get implants, folks. Everyone's beautiful out there.
Yeah. Just be happy with what you have.
Yeah. Or just work hard for what you don't have.
Oh, God. I'm watching the video right now. Jesus Christ. Ooh.
Oh, is it the actual surgery?
Yeah.
Or is
No, it's just her showing off her floating... floating.
Who would make a video of their botched ass implant gone wrong and wanting to share it with the world? Like, is it meant as a precautionary tale?
I guess so.
Very unselfish when you really break it down to put yourself out like that. I mean,
yeah. How embarrassing though, you know? Like, what, let's say you're sitting down and then you get up and all of a sudden your implant flips over and it's like the flat part.
Hey, have you watched did you watch the UFC promo I sent you?
I did.
Why don't you describe this promo? 30 seconds for the UFC to sell you on John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson.
Well, the UFC, for those of you that are kind of web savvy, which I'd assume you'd all be if you're listening to this, the UFC has kind of in the past always done these viral videos But they're all done by the UFC, but they do them that, they never air on TV. They're always like kind of a, like I remember one of the more memorable ones was, what was it? It was like.
Oh, the phone call when UFC 151 was canceled. Do you remember that one? That one was pretty good.
I don't remember that one. I remember, okay. I remember, Henin Barrow.
oh yeah, that was good.
Where they did
the Beach Boys?
Yeah, they did a song about Henin Barrow to the tune of "I Get Around" by the Beach Boys. And they made a whole video. Anyway,
a whole video based around how to pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, and so they're always usually very funny. They're usually always very good, and it's just kind of their viral marketing division that actually usually does a good job. Then John sends me one for the upcoming Jones versus Gustafson fight, and it's titled UFC 165. It's so big. So I was expecting something not safe for work. Which was fine for me today because I'm at home. But then I start watching this, and it's just a typical video. It's Bruce Buffer introducing Jones versus Gustafson, and then all of a sudden, Bruce Buffer's head explodes.
Very tragic.
Like it actually just explodes, and
from the excitement of what's about to happen.
Yeah. So and then the camera goes to Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan on the side. And then Goldberg's head explodes. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out at this point what the joke is, what the punchline is. And then
it's like this fight is so big, it's like your head's gonna explode at just how big this fight is gonna be, which is this is a real stretch selling this main event. I mean, it is a very
It's not even that
interesting main event.
It's not even that big. Certainly not head exploding worthy. So then I look at all the comments on YouTube, which of course is the best part. And, most people, a lot of comments are, I can't believe people paid for this to be produced. Are people at the UFC losing their minds or something? Who thought of this shit?
Ha, that's kind of funny. Are they losing their minds? That's the next promo.
Yeah. But you know what? You think about it and obviously, the intent perhaps was to get this discussion going. I can't believe they did this. People like yourself sending it to me and Jason and all your friends. What is this? So you know what's been going around lately that kind of has the same appeal? It's the video of the waffle falling down. You see?
I haven't seen this video.
All right. Well, this is something you got to see. Waffle falling over.
I'm already clicked on it. I'm watching it right now.
It's the newest craze on the internet.
It's 32 seconds.
Actually, there are multiple versions. That's probably a remix, but
oh.
The original is like probably just 7 seconds. And it's a video of a, of like a.
Yeah, it's definitely a remix.
Rectangular waffle. Falling over on a table. And it's gotten like, I'm sure by this point, millions of views, all throughout the internet.
There's like a ton of these different, just video. They have Waffle Falling Over Michael Bay Edition.
Oh yeah. Let's watch.
Waffle Falling Over Harlem Shake Edition. Waffle Falling Over Sopranos Edition. Minecraft Edition. Lost.
Yeah.
10-minute version.
Wow, a 10-minute version. Well, anyway, there you go. I mean, so, the stupider, like, we've gotten to the point now where, things are so stupid. That...
Waffle falling over reaction video. It's just on the guy's face watching.
So, I think I guess it's kind of like our podcast in that, things can be so bad or so meaningless that, people just find some type of humor out of it. So that's what the world is on to right now.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you have that one friend who will be like, hey man, come watch this YouTube video. And they'll like drag you to watch something and it's like 3.5 minutes or something. I find it's like,
that happens.
This happened to me the other week. Someone here at work, they were like, hey man, you gotta watch this. This is so funny. I was like, well, send me the link, man.
Was it funny?
No.
Oh, okay.
it wasn't funny. And I knew like 5 seconds in, this isn't going to be funny.
Sometimes,
and I watched the whole thing and I was just like, I just walked out. I just had nothing to say.
Oh, so how did you walk out? Cause that's always awkward.
I was like, oh, cool. And I just left. It's like, you just wasted 4 minutes here. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, that's rude.
I hate that.
If I was in your situation, I would, I'd tough it out, or I would just at some point say, that's really good. That's hilarious. And as I'm doing that, I would be on my way out, but I would give off the impression that I really had a good time.
Yeah, that's what we do. We try and just give people false hope, but then they just continue doing shit like that. Maybe you got to show some tough love. Then you get labeled a dickhead, but then, you know, they probably take it to heart and be like, you know what? I shouldn't do this stuff to people. I shouldn't really make people sit through something I find funny that maybe others don't.
Would you have walked over for this waffle video?
You know what? This is a 30-second video.
It's actually,
that's about the maximum you should ever make someone, you know what?
And 7 seconds.
Still, it's too forceful. Too forceful. Email it to me and I'll watch it on my own time.
Yeah, people want to watch each other's reactions.
Well, that's very selfish. Very selfish.
Yeah, not necessarily. Somebody like a chef, somebody cooks a meal. You cook a meal for your family. You want to see their reaction as they eat it.
Hey, Wei, come watch my Night of Champions recap with Jimmy Corderas. Let's watch all 5 minutes of it.
Is it funny? Will it make me laugh?
Yeah, maybe it will.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. The comments are always the best part.
What are some comments?
Let's look. WWE pay-per-views are a joke. They start copying UFC with the stats and who has the best chance of winning. He goes right, et cetera. ECT. I'm glad there's THIERS, a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. Going to be hard for me to take this guy seriously on MMA when he talks about wrestling. Switch to UFC pay-per-view is good. Didn't watch this. Glad I didn't pay for this. Only really get WrestleMania, Sumer Slam with 1M, Royal Rumble, on Survivor Series. The rest seem like throwing money away.
All right.
People just hate people.
Yeah.
That's okay. Sorry, I needed that distraction from Thunder. I needed to take an impromptu intermission. So thank you for that distraction. Well, I did like the waffle video.
Okay, good. Share it.
So LaPark is in. One of the great parts about watching this way was that some of the commercials were left in, including this awesome Conan and Rey Mysterio commercial selling their merchandise.
Yo, where are dogs at? Back by popular demand, it's the R to the E to the Y.
Mysterio Jr. jersey, if you want to truly represent, get it now. I feel like you're coming up the top rope like the acrobatic technician.
Yo, check out the K-Dog banner in it.
What? Too much, man. This is my commercial. Buy it now.
Get your Rey Mysterio baseball jersey for $60. Just call 1-800-WCW-8661.
Introducing the Rey Mysterio Jr. Project.
Now, buy the shirt.
This was a Rey Mysterio baseball jersey.
Get your Rey Mysterio baseball jersey for only $60 was the tag at the end of the promo.
Who are the people I don't know. I'm sorry, but I don't even know who the people are that actually wear baseball jerseys, much less a pro wrestler, version of a baseball jersey. I don't even know if Rey Mysterio has ever picked up a baseball bat or a glove. And, you know, he's trying to sell a baseball jersey that has his old mask on it, a mask that he doesn't even wear anymore.
Well, $60. It could have been yours. Would have been at least a collector's item.
The commercial was certainly funny, though, because it was Conan here and Rey
selling Rey's jersey.
Yeah, so it was Conan doing his thing, yo, 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 check out my homeboy R to the E to the Y. And then it's Rey Mysterio unmasked, talking like a gangster. And you know Rey Mysterio is the farthest thing away from that. He's like a little kid. And then they're obviously in front of a green screen, these two, with like random images of, I don't know, wrestling in the back. And then to duck out of frame, Rey Mysterio simply ducks down, like he kneels so that he's out of frame, and then Conan's back. It's just it's so amazing, actually.
So they then did a recap from Nitro with Torrey Wilson, who was flirting with Billy Kidman. And by flirting, I mean they started making out. Then Kurt Hennig started hitting on Torrey Wilson. And this led to David Flair, who I believe was linked to Torrey here as an item, stepping in. And then Kurt Hennig attacks David Flair. And what did this set up? The Armstrong brothers against Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris. No sight of any of the people in this video on this whole fucking show. None of them. No David Flair, no Kurt Hennig, no Torrey Wilson, no Billy Kidman, no reason for this video to be on here.
I it felt like Thunder at this time was almost like Jacked or Metal or
Those shows, I think, were way better than Thunder.
What I mean is, like, they acted as recap shows of Nitro rather than, you know, anything worth watching on its own. They ended up being like recap shows filled with a few original matches here and there with some low level talent.
Scott and Steve Armstrong. Scott, of course, a current WWE referee who, as luck would have it, a big part of Raw Monday night. Coming off that fast count finish on Sunday night.
That's right.
Taking on Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris with Jimmy Hart in their corner. They plugged here, Way, right at the beginning, that tomorrow tickets go on sale for WCW Mayhem in Toronto.
Oh.
And you can go meet Bret Hart. You want to go?
No.
Oh, busy?
Yeah. Did you go to that?
No, I did not. No. I won tickets to Mayhem. Actually, my brother won tickets to Mayhem on the law.
Oh, wow.
And my brother took me, and that was the first time I got to meet Dan Lavransky.
Wow, that's amazing. Cool. How was that?
It was fun.
What were your first impressions of meeting Dan in real life?
I thought he was hilarious because this kid in the third row ahead of us was standing on his seat yelling for Hulk Hogan, who wasn't even on this show, and Dan was like, "Hey, can you please sit down? We're all trying to watch this." And the mother got so bothered, she took her kid and left. Like halfway through the show. Like, what a shitty mother. Kid was, just sit down. Just don't block our view.
How old was he? Was this kid?
Seven. Whatever. Don't stand on your seat. I don't give a fuck how old you are.
That's great.
He's older now. He's probably, Jesus, kid's probably like, that was 99. He's like 20 now.
Yeah.
At least, maybe 21.
So, and Dan would have been much younger at that time too. So.
Yeah, I think Dan was about 17.
Yeah.
Nash asks if there will be free beer served at the on sale date with Brett. Mike Tenay says to go ask Zane Bresloff, which was funny. More inside comments. Knobbs misses an elbow drop to Scott as Nash stuns, and I mean stuns Mike Tenay by making a Bull Nakano reference. And Mike Tenay was like, literally like, needed toilet paper because he lost his shit.
Here. Kevin Nash said, Hugh Morris goes to the same hairstylist in Japan as Bull Nakano.
Yes.
That was the very clever joke.
Yeah, Mike Tenay just in stunned silence here until he realized that the two were briefly in the WWF together, and that's probably where he knows the name. They got the heat on Steve Armstrong, who had the classic 1999 hair, where you had dark hair, but you dyed the top part blonde, leaving the sides brown.
Oh, is that the classic 1999 look?
Yep. The obvious dyeing your hair blonde.
Oh, the bleach.
I went through this phase too. It looked terrible.
Did you leave the sides dark?
Well, I would dye my whole hair blonde.
You had,
but then
yeah, and
I had blonde hair, but I used to dye it like stupid.
Yeah,
blonde,
you like Eminem blonde.
Yeah, like ugly. Leave me alone, blonde. It was just it looked terrible.
And you had and you had earrings on top of that.
Oh God, I was a mess, dude. Just a mess.
No, you look cool, man.
I didn't.
And
look
you
cool
had,
at
and
all.
You had a chain.
I did wear a chain for a time. Yeah, it was great. Anyway, but then your roots start to grow in.
Uh-huh.
And that's when it looks all weird. But you know, you go through a phase where you're like, yeah, man, this is what people look like these days.
Well, who are your idols at the time? Who are you trying to look like? Fred Durst?
I can't say I was truly, no, Fred Durst really, did he have, he just had the red hat. That was
right, okay.
Most, I connect with.
Oh, the drummer from Korn.
I was never a big fan of Korn. So I didn't really follow them too much. I was more, if anything, it was like, if my hair wasn't so straight, it would have been like a Justin Timberlake. That's what was his kind of look at the time was, he had like his dyed blonde hair.
Right.
And that was back when everyone hated Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Now it's much more in vogue to be a fan of Justin Timberlake, which, by the way, one of our listeners pointed out this crazy fact to me on Sunday night. Do you know who is following us on Twitter? Legit account.
JC Chazé.
Britney Spears is following Outlaw
Radio. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Look at her.
Are you sure this is legit?
Some fan, yeah, like you can see the, like who's following you and stuff like that. And I went to check and it's like, yeah, some guy was like, hey, did you realize Britney Spears is following you? And I imagine it's not Britney Spears running her account, but it's still very strange. Maybe she's like following it because it's like maybe we deal with like lawsuits or something like that or just, I don't know.
Have we ever even mentioned Britney Spears on the law or on our podcast?
I can't.
You know what? I mean, what if it's a fake account? What if it's just like a robot? You know?
Well, this account has like 39 million followers.
Yeah. I mean,
but it could, you're right, like a system where it's like bots just start following people, but very weird. Like you would assume that, I don't know. I don't know how Twitter works. I'm not trying.
She follows like 400,000 people.
Does she?
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
But I mean, well, to be,
if that's the case, that's way less impressive.
To be one of 400,000, it's still pretty cool.
Well, that's a lot of people she's following. It's gotta be.
They're probably all her friends. She knows a lot of people.
No, there's no way she knows that many people.
Sure she does. Anyway, that I think that should be our new tagline for the law.
Britney Spears follows us.
Yeah.
All right. From there, we go on over to our next. Oh, sorry. We're still in the middle of this match that no one cared about 14 years ago and no one caring now. And I'm delaying time because my computer froze. The match continues. Knobs misses an elbow drop. That's where we get the Bull Nakano reference. They get the heat on Steve. Scott makes the hot tag. This dynamic team of Scott and Steve. And then Knobs avoids a drop kick, slams Scott, tags in Hugh Morris, who hits the No Laughing Matter moonsault for the win at 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
Steve, the one that passed away recently?
No, that was Brad.
Oh, right.
There were a lot of Armstrong brothers. Brad, probably, I would say, the most talented of all of them. He was a very underrated.
What about Road Dog?
He was very good, but I mean just like bell-to-bell worker. Oh. Brad Armstrong was really good. He just unfortunately didn't have that personality
right.
to really – that translated. A lot of guys who like hung out with him said he was like hilarious to just hang around with, but that never worked on TV. It just never came through. Knobs then cuts a promo on Scott and references Harlem Heat and what they're going to do to them at the pay-per-view. Booker T and Stevie Ray run in. Booker T is identified by Kevin Nash as Wesley Snipes, and it leads to Zbyszko saying the words "fruit booties."
Not racist at all.
I guess not. The Revolution against the Filthy Animals was a big program going on Nitro, and they recapped a very physical angle between the two involving Shane Chain Douglas, where they talked about Shane Douglas using a chain, and then they were trying to get over calling him Chain Douglas. This was legit. I think they were seriously trying to get this over as like some nickname or something. Chain Douglas.
It honestly just feels like no one gives a shit about any of this at all. Everybody's just going through the motions. Like, the only people obviously who cared about anything on this show were the young guys and the guys like Steve Armstrong, who probably never get on TV except on this show. And then here you have these announcers making fun.
It was, yeah. We got this whole video package because the big angle coming out of Nitro on Monday night was that Sid, was going to face Goldberg at Halloween Havoc, but the provision was made that Goldberg cannot touch Sid or then the match is canceled. So it finished with Goldberg spearing Sid on Nitro and the cliffhanger of will this match be canceled? And Nash says he put together a video package on the feud, and then he proceeded to run this video package and then do voiceovers for it live on the air. This was terrible. It went on forever.
This was funny, actually.
There was one highlight of Sid and Rick Steiner in a locker room, on their knees, growling at the camera and laughing menacingly. That has to be seen to appreciate. They attacked Brett and Benoit during this.
Terrible. What happens usually is, you know, they air these video packages and you have Tanay or whoever, Shivani, voiceover and narrate these packages live. And so Nash decides to do it this time. He has no script. He just improvises. And it's just like, Nash is like, okay, so Goldberg, in the video package, he goes for the spear. And then Nash is commentating like, Goldberg goes for the spear. And now he gets up, milks the camera. He's milking the hard camera. And it's just very hard to believe that this was your head booker for months.
Just like completely shitting on his product. It was just something else to watch. This was Tanay just said, he called this video package Shades of Mystery Science Theater.
Mm-hmm.
As we moved on, because we had a big match coming up, in one corner, so bad. Horace against Brian Adams. Who the fuck could care about this match, Way? Who the fuck could care about Horace against Brian Adams for 4 minutes and 17 seconds?
This was like a random match that would come up when I would play WCW Thunder on my PlayStation.
Yeah, game. But then you'd fucking quickly reset because like, oh, I don't want the computer to choose Brian Adams.
Yeah.
Nor do I want to be Horace.
Mm-hmm.
It started off with Mike Tanay explaining that Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko have left the country and are currently working for New Japan Pro Wrestling on a tour. Nash surmises that perhaps they left because the Revolution's t-shirt is so bad.
It is pretty bad.
I guess so. Tilt-A-Whirl Backbreaker is delivered to Horace. And then right in front of the referee, Brian Adams low blows Horace. His referee just watches. He military presses him. And Adams just roars here. Nash says this match was originally supposed to be a hair versus hair match. And Mike Tanay replies, huh, looks like Horace has already lost. And Adams nearly murders this man with a pile driver at the end for the win at 4:17. Such a sloppy pile driver.
It was very quick and pretty dangerous looking.
Oh, my God. It was...
Yep.
Anything to add to this match?
No.
Other than it ended. No?
No.
Brian Adams and Horace. A classic. Then we got a video on Sting and Hulk Hogan for Halloween Havoc. Sting had just turned heel, and this was the highlight of the entire fucking show for me, was hearing Hogan refer to Sting as Stingman during this video package.
Why? Why was that a highlight?
This was the precursor to Stingmon.
Oh, okay.
Stingman.
Uh-huh.
This was before he got hip and changed his vowels.
This was before he became a Rasta.
In 10 years, it's going to be like Stingman.
Got plural?
No, M-I-N. He's going to change it again. From E to O to I. We'll eventually get to U. And sometimes Y.
Okay.
Okerlund then brings out Lash LaRue. It's like we almost forgot that we needed this guy in two segments and did it backwards, where the match happened and then we did the promo later on in the show. Nash flat out asks, who booked this? And Gene Okerlund, I swear to Christ, I don't think knew this guy's name. He just said, come on in here, young man. Come on in here, young man. Okerlund just pretty much holds the microphone as Lash LaRue gives out as many puns as he can, calling his fans the Lash Lovers. He's on his way to Halloween Havoc in Lash Vegas. And then Okerlund calls Lash a breath of fresh air in this industry and says, we're going to be seeing a lot of you. which was not true. We would not see a lot of this man. He would get a brief stay in HWA after this company went out of business, and then the WWE cut him. And he draws stuff now.
He draws?
He's a cartoonist. Oh. Yeah, he's a big cartoonist or something.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, I thought he spoke comfortably here. I mean, nothing.
I was very high on this guy. I was a fan of Lash LaRue. Like, this guy, he reminded me a lot of Chris Jericho in his early infancy. And maybe it was because they kind of had, I don't know, just similar traits in them. But, yeah. Lash LaRue was certainly someone that really went nowhere, but kind of got a push at this point in time and then got put into MIA in 2000 and was just kind of just a bit player in WCW, not someone that the fans would typically remember too well.
I feel like there aren't enough representatives of people from Louisiana, like Cajun, like, you know, like guys like were stereotypically like this guy. You know what I mean? We're talking with the sort of that Louisiana accent and everything.
Very underrepresented.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go in the Hall of Fame next year for WrestleMania.
Okay.
New Orleans.
Yeah, that's right. Lash LaRue.
You do need some locals.
Uh-huh.
Berlin is in the back, speaking to Brad Armstrong. Berlin was a character that was originally Alex Wright, who was this young prospect that came into WCW at a very young age. He was there at like the age of like 18, 19. And then they morphed him into this character where they shot all these vignettes for them, and Turner basically said, these promos are, I wouldn't say too racist, but we are not putting these on the air. I mean, how best we can describe this man is what way? Like,
neo-Nazi.
Yes, he was paired with the Wall. And basically here, Berlin is speaking to Brad Armstrong, and then Brad Armstrong yells at him for not speaking English. Says, I'm from America. Learn how to speak English, you foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the basis of this feud, which would culminate in I don't know what. They led to a match on Thunder. They had a match, well, not on tonight's Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
They recapped Nitro, where Berlin and the Wall caused Brad Armstrong to lose to Kurt Hennig. And then Armstrong got attacked by Berlin and the Wall in the back. He fights back with a cane. Berlin then attacks Armstrong with a neck breaker in a match. And this is when Armstrong is fighting La Parca. Armstrong takes the neck breaker, landing on top of La Parca, and gets the win. And this leads to Berlin against Prince Iaukea on Thunder.
Mm.
I like Berlin's theme music. It was different.
I don't remember.
Oh, it was like this opera kind of. It was at least something different in WCW. It was at least a theme that I remembered.
Mm. Okay.
Which I can't say about 95% of the theme songs. They explain that tonight's main event is going to see Rick Steiner and the Total Package take on Buff Bagwell and La Parca. And Tanay is trying to sell this as, what a unique, new pairing we've got between Buff Bagwell and La Parca tonight. Very interesting main event. And Kevin Nash says, well, the fact is, no one showed up, and we just booked this in the afternoon. Our big talent wasn't here, and we were forced to put La Parca in the main event.
So that was the reason?
That's what this guy fucking said.
No Sting, no none of the Radicals, no Goldberg, no...
No Sting Man. Guys, I guess, got to pick and choose dates at a pretty high frequency at this point.
So we're left with Berlin and Prince Iaukea.
Yep. And that's not all. Nash then pitches doing a variety show on WCW Saturday Night and says, I need to be doing more comedy stuff because I can't bump around anymore. This was in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Nash just mocks this entire match, just calls it sarcastically. He starts talking in German. The Wall hits Prince Iaukea behind the referee's back, and then Berlin hits a reverse neckbreaker at 358. I don't know why these guys even bothered trying here when you had this fool here just taking a figurative shit on the ring here.
Mm.
Both these guys. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
They aired a video package on Ming, who has just returned to television. All they did with this video way was take regular commentary and increase the pitch on it and shook up the video.
Oh, cool. I could get you excited.
That led to Ming taking on the destructible Luther Biggs, accompanied by Coach Buzz Stern.
Who?
Dude, I barely remember this guy.
Who are either of these guys? Luther Biggs.
I don't know, but they, I don't think they ever appeared again after this show.
Coach who?
They might. Coach Buzz Stern, who I don't even know to this day who played this role. I'm sure we can find it here, and it was just someone in the power plant. I don't know what it was, but it was just, it was Glacier. It was Ray Lloyd repackaged.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, I don't remember the character at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all. Luther Biggs, I remember the name, but that's about it. Nash just jokes how Ming looks like Barry White. Ming rams his own head into the turnbuckle and is no-selling, applies the Tongan death grip, and gets the win at a minute 19. And then Coach Buzz Stern takes the Tongan death grip. Larry Zbyszko says, he won't be blowing his whistle for a while. And Nash explains to the viewer at home that no wrestler ever gets beaten after they get a sweet video package like that going into their match. We're almost done, folks. We have two more matches to go on Thunder and the Kevin Nash era. Perry Saturn against Rey Mysterio. I almost wish that Kevin Nash at least went to these guys and said, hey, I'm going to fuck around for 2 hours tonight. So when you're putting your match together, keep that in mind, that no one is going to care what you guys do. So take it easy. That's what I wish they would have told these guys. When I think about Rey Mysterio and how bad his knees were at this point, and to waste even a bump on this fucking show sounds like just a travesty.
Uh-huh. Tanae starts plugging Halloween Havoc and says that tickets are still on sale. And then Kevin Nash says, well, that's because they hold these seats. Kevin Nash also says that Halloween Havoc is his favorite pay-per-view because it's in Las Vegas. And Tanae asks, why? And Nash says, well, because I can see my friends at the Crazy Horse Cabaret.
Well, there you go. That's sign me up for this pay-per-view. I want to make sure Kevin Nash has a good time. Perry Saturn and Rey Mysterio. This was when Rey had his blonde dyed hair. Hits a quebrada off the top and then gets elevated, lands on the top turnbuckle. We see Ray with the Rough Rider, as Tanae describes it, in the corner. Hits a split-legged moonsault. Saturn gets his foot on the ropes. Ray then hits a somersault dive to the corner. Saturn then hits him with a T-bone suplex, hits him with another one that Nash identifies as a porterhouse suplex. Steak joke. Saturn is working the left arm. There's a tilt-a-whirl, but Ray gets dropped on his chest. Then Ray goes for a top rope hurricane rana. That is blocked and takes a power bomb off the top. Saturn gets a two count. Finish comes with a tilt-a-whirl head scissors into a roll-up by Ray, who gets to win 6 minutes and 10 seconds. Easily the best match on the show. And it almost depressed me at how hard these guys tried at a time when it didn't matter at all. This was just such a throwaway show. And it's like, these guys, I would have been happy if they just coasted.
Mm-hmm. After the match, Saturn attacks Rey Mysterio and hits what Kevin Nash refers to as the Old Glory elbow drop. The whole match was full of Old Glory jokes.
Yeah, it continued all show long, with the big climax coming in this match. And then the Rings of Saturn is applied. The Old Glory Rings of Saturn. Main event time. 8 matches, whatever the hell it was by this point. Rick Steiner in the total package with Elizabeth in their corner taking on Buff Bagwell and La Parca. They fought on the floor. Parca was thrown into the steel barricade. He's sent into the steps by Rick Steiner, chokes him with a cable. Parca is getting beaten down, makes the hot tag. Buff Bagwell then climbs to the second turnbuckle and goes for his finisher, the Blockbuster. But La Parca runs in with a chair to thwart off the heels. Bagwell is confused here by his partner running into the ring. So what does Bagwell do? He hits La Parca with the Blockbuster. Then he leaves the match. And as he's walking up the ramp, Mike Tenay says, what a crazy night it has been. Good night, everyone.
Oh, man.
Chance, no finish, nothing. A perfectly appropriate ending to this piece of shit show that I just sat through for however god-awful length it was. No finish at all. Because we couldn't get fucking Laparca or Rick Steiner to take a fall. Oh, I hated the show.
It really was perfect. I mean, you were...
It was the right. It was the perfect ending to this era of Kevin Nash. It was perfect.
You're trying to push Buff Bagwell here as a babyface and getting a pretty good reaction as a babyface throughout this entire thing. And then, first of all, I don't know why they decided to put Laparca in this situation. It made no sense that these two would have any involvement whatsoever. And then Bagwell basically turns on Laparca and leaves the match, and they don't even give the finish. It was just, I don't know if it, like, if this was obviously, booked to be shitty, or what.
Well, if it was, home run, 10 out of 10 show then. I don't know what that means in this crazy meta version of Thunder that we took in. I'm so sick of this stupid shit. And this was just the beginning before Russo got in here and we got tons of this shoot work bullshit that's never drawn a penny.
But I got the sense that, Russo was kind of doing it with the intent of, being creative or being, I don't know, at least controversial. I think Nash here though was just doing it because he didn't care. He was just doing it to amuse himself.
If I ever hear one more time Russo make the claim that, hey, the week before we drew this number and then I came in and we jumped it, fuck you. I will play you a tape. This was what WCW was like in that week going into the Russo period. Uh-huh. I can only imagine what this show did.
I don't know.
Anyway, that was Thunder, a 0 out of 10 show.
Yeah, I got to give this, maybe a...
There was not anything... I felt terrible for Saturn and Ray. It was like, guys, how dare you still have work ethic at this stage of the game?
Yeah.
Just coast like everyone else. Stay healthy. That would have been my advice.
I give the show a B minor out of 10. Cause B minor is, the saddest, chord. And, the only appropriate rating.
All right. Let's get into feedback here. Some people watch this. Not many, but some. We start with Ronaldo from Milan, Italy. Oh, the memories. I remember when Thunder debuted, and just like the NWO, it was appealing for about 3 weeks before becoming a big-ass version of WCW Saturday Night. Nash on commentary, telling inside jokes while smiling like an idiot to the camera, stopped being cool in 96. So beer and gin were of great help for this viewing. Jim Duggan is over. Some guys just are. All he needs is a flag and a crowd, and the people will pop no matter what. Wonder why they didn't give him the belt at least once. It looks like seemingly everyone got a run with it during the last chapter of WCW. The way Luger cut the basic 80s heel promo was so weak and uninspired it would have exposed the business in the 40s. Come on, Lex, show some respect to the company that gave you a job when Vince McMahon didn't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I bet my right ball that Brian Knobbs has tried at least once to pass it off like he's beaten a young Dolph Ziggler before he was famous in order to sell some autographed photos at conventions. Just when you thought Alex Wright couldn't get sillier here, they gave him a pseudo-Nazi gimmick where his bodyguard is actually more over than him. Laparca is not American, doesn't speak English, and he was the most overperformer on this whole show. Take note, Russo. All I can say is this show sucked. It was just a boring affair. Little matches, poor promos, and lots of recaps. Fuck Kevin Nash for getting me drunk on a Saturday afternoon.
Paul from Berlin. I enjoy the late WCW stuff for what it is, and that is one big train wreck. If you go back and watch it in hindsight, it's actually really enjoyable from a it's so bad, it's good kind of perspective. I beg to differ for this. I actually wanted to watch this Thunder because I had only seen little parts of Nash on commentary, but never the whole thing. Right at the start when they show the commentary table and Nash starts talking about bookers and ankles, you can see Mike Tenay die a little inside. Also, Nash is so high, it's amazing, allegedly. Again, in hindsight, great. But if I had watched it at the time, I would have been furious and probably wouldn't have watched another WCW broadcast. I hate the Berlin character with a passion. Of course, the German guy gets a Nazi gimmick. I guess I should be happy that it's not the full-on brown uniform with the swastika armband. Russo was probably furious that someone else did it before he came into the company. Also, despite being German, Alex Wright's German sounded weirdly stilted and fake on the show. His theme is awesome, though. Like I said, the show is a train wreck, but it entertained me because of that. 6 out of 10.
Oh, God. Way too kind here. Shadow. Hello, John and Wei. My name is Tiago da Silva, and I am from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I'm a long-time listener, and this is my first time leaving feedback. Sorry if my English isn't so good. So this is the very last show booked by Kevin Nash in WCW history. Vince Russo takes over on the next Nitro, and what better way to go out than to put Kevin Nash on an all-shoot interview edition of the commentary team with Mike Tenay and Larry Zbysko. Well, see, there's been a lot of people who said I've been a horrible booker, but I've actually booked myself in the best angle of all time. I retired, and since they're paying me big money, they decided they would put me on the broadcast team tonight to try and recoup some of those funds. Okay, now, Tiago goes in to literally recap the entire show. And I do appreciate all this feedback, Tiago, and I encourage anyone that wants to read that, you can go to the message board. I'm going to skip to the final match.
No, we don't encourage it. We actually discourage it. Okay. Don't do this stuff. Please.
It's too long, folks, and we'll handle the recap. You guys just share your thoughts or questions.
Read the last sentence. That's
Valu.
What?
Valu. Well, that's the last word.
Valu.
V-A-L-E-U with a lot of exclamation points.
Well, thank you.
He gives the show a 4 out of 10.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and especially since it's your first piece of feedback. You're probably not aware, but yeah, just write and
concise.
Yeah, please. Chris in China. I don't know what makes me hate Nash more. Watching this show or seeing Nash call Daniel Bryan a vanilla midget. At first, I almost thought I was watching a shitty standard def version of Impact with the blue set and Mike Tenay welcoming us to the show. I wish it was Impact after all. I really didn't need to hear Nash on commentary. The commentary was painful to sit through on the show between all the old glory references, the stupid voices Nash was doing, calling Zbysko Bruno. Anyway, all in all, the show just dragged and felt slow and boring to watch. I couldn't get into any of the matches. Seeing the roster and how dull the show was, I imagine these old guys as food that one would cut out of a diet when they aim to lose weight and get healthy. WWF.
What a great analogy. That was very good.
WWF was trimming the fat and getting in shape, and WCW was scarfing down the old nasty junk food and growing more bloated and even nastier than Honey Boo Boo. Appropriate that they died a little over a year later. I did like seeing Hacksaw Jim Duggan, though. He was always a favorite of mine as a kid to see on very few occasions I ever watched. I used to march around and hum his WCW theme all the time. Also enjoyed seeing Mysterio and Saturn, even though their match was littered to no end with Nash's commentary. On a side note, why the fuck did Lash LaRue win a match early on the show, then come back to talk about his upcoming match against Disco a half hour later? Could he not have cut the same shit promo after defeating Al Green? I don't know. I didn't really have anything else to take away from this show. And I like Ray, but $60 for a baseball shirt, as Pollock would say, fuck off.
Derek from Denton, Texas. Wow, I don't know what the hell that was, but I sat through the whole thing slightly entertained and mostly bored. Initially, I thought it was kind of fun having Kevin Nash on commentary, especially when he explained why he was commentating tonight, as well as him providing voiceovers for the Goldberg-Sid Vicious package. But for the rest of the show, all three of the commentators sucked. The matches themselves felt like they were all dragging along with no energy. I was hoping the Rey Mysterio-Perry Saturn match would at least make up for the shitty matches earlier. But even that match sucked. Overall, even though I didn't enjoy the show, I can't wait to hear what you guys had to say about it. So I give this one a 2.5 out of 10. And so brings us to a close of October 14th, 1999, the day WCW presented an ungodly edition of Thunder.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody would even consider trying to watch this whole show after listening to us talk about this. I really doubt anybody would. But if you are going to, save yourself the time and just watch the compilation of Kevin Nash on commentary. Like a 5-minute compilation? Don't watch the whole 2-hour.
It's way too much to take. Had to break this one up a few times. So that was Thunder. We hated it. I assume most of you did as well. If you enjoyed it, I question you.
Oh, it's a 21-minute compilation. Still, that's...
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they...
Even that, I think you can get that down to a solid 2 minutes. Yeah. All right, we're going to get on out of here. Next week, Wei, what do you have on tap for us? What are you going to make us endure?
Well, I'm still very inspired by... Okay,
oh, no.
Wait a second. Let me... Oh, you choose, okay?
No. I left it up to you.
Well,
pick whatever you want.
No, I got two choices, and I want you to pick between the two.
Okay.
We have... All right, we got, we're going TNA here, everybody. We're going early TNA.
Wow.
And, we can choose between, the earlier show or the later show.
Oh, so really that means a good show or a bad show
No.
is what you mean. Right?
No.
Oh, okay. The earlier show or the later show. So I'm just to pick one and then you reveal the mystery review?
Yeah.
Okay. Against my better judgment, I'm going to say the later show.
All right. I was hoping you'd say that. We are going to review the January 29th, 2003 edition of NWA TNA.
Oh, no.
And this was the Tony Schiavone heel turn promo edition of NWA TNA.
God, this is a perfect show to have a review. Considering that Dixie Carter is going to be doing this character now, coming out of Impact on Thursday night. So let's just address all the shitty work shoots out there, and then people can tell us how, you know, outside of CM Punk, can you make any claim to any of these fucking things ever doing anything of inspiring any interest or any business or any money being spent on a product?
Was Vince Russo a part of the company at this time?
In 2003, I believe he was. He was doing this Sports Entertainment Extreme group.
Excellent.
Oh. Okay, well, this will be a fun one. Back in the Nashville days, Tony Schiavone's, I believe, one and only appearance for NWA TNA. It was a memorable one, as I recall.
Yeah, and Mike Tenay gets a second appearance on Reveal Way 2 weeks in a row.
Man, that guy is just all over the place right now.
Yeah.
So that's going to come up next week. Is this easy to watch?
You can find it on YouTube. Somebody's uploaded. It's the January 29th, 2003 edition of NWA TNA.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to take a look at that next week here. NWA TNA, not too many of those we have reviewed. So in the meantime, you can go to liveaudiowrestling.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Law Radio, at I Am John Pollock, at Way0937. Of course, we have the Law up from Sunday night featuring Dr. Kirschenbaum, a review of Night of Champions, and a new intro for the Law. So lots of stuff to look forward to.
Quite the addition of Title Bout Trivia.
Oh, a huge return for One Darlene on Sunday night. A lot of controversy on our message board regarding the legitimacy of this. But
is there a fast count?
I don't believe there was, but there is a lot of debate going on, so we'll let you be the judge. Review a Raw from Monday night. Me and Wei still getting over that show. And then we'll be back. Bauer and Pollock will be up Thursday. I think we're going to start to put the show up Thursday evenings now, so you'll have it Thursday night, Friday morning, every week. And then Review and Impact. I think we're doing a show this week. It's still kind of up in the air, isn't it, Wei? We've got a very busy couple of days coming
up. Yeah, there's a lot of activity in Toronto for in the Fight Network for the UFC that's in town this week. So we might be busy, but if we're not, we're definitely going to try to fit a show in.
Most times, I would say let's just skip it. But I really want to review this Impact on Thursday because I think it is going to be one that'll be perfect for a review, considering the those that have heard this promo with AJ Styles and Dixie Carter. I feel like we should try to do this one. So
okay.
We will do our best, folks, but it's a very, very packed week here in Toronto with the UFC coming
up. Maybe we'll
on
do
Saturday.
It drunk.
Oh, that might be. We'll do it right after the party on Thursday night. We'll get Helwani to watch it with us.
We're having there's going to be a closed
Well, don't tell people. They might want to show up.
Well, I mean, it's just a small little thing. But there will be some drinking involved, and we'll probably maybe we'll watch Impact.
Maybe we can get them to put it on, and we can watch it with our fellow members of Team Canada.
Yeah, that's right, for a basketball game, correct.
All right, lots of stuff coming up, folks. We will chat with you later on this week, and let's go out here with some music. And who I'm now going to refer to, let's go out with good friend of the program, Britney Spears, and her hot new single, which I think we would have been so much better off if someone had told Kevin Nash, given him these instructions, to work, bitch.
You wanna.
Awesome.
You wanna.
All right.
You wanna hot body? You wanna bootcutty? You wanna muscle body? You better work, bitch. You wanna run the guinea? Sit in martinis, look hot in a bikini. You better work, bitch. You wanna live fancy, live in a big mansion, party in France. You better work, bitch. 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 You wanna live fancy.